Well, I don't know if you're going to have a treat, but anyways, I'm the backup plan. I know Mr. Pinelli gave me a call earlier, and they've been stuck by the freeway in a parking lot for about an hour, so he thought it best to go ahead and use our backup plan. But hopefully they got through and they'll be able to get up to Seattle for services. It's nice to see everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to service. If we're webcasting, I'd like to welcome everybody on the webcast. Seems like it's been weeks ago I prepared this sermon, and I got sick for about 2 weeks with whatever was going around, and my wife got it too, and I didn't have a chance to give it. So I know Mr. Pinelli broadcast from Seattle last time, and I was the backup plan, and I thought today I might have a very relaxing Sabbath, just sit back. But anyways, this was a sermon that I had prepared some weeks ago. Brethren, have you ever been afraid of the dark? You know, there's something about darkness. We know that little children a lot of times are afraid of the dark. They can't see what's out there. Things get dark. And a lot of times we have to comfort them. I think many of us have gone through that. They get over it. There's something about darkness. We know that human beings need light. You know, they've proven that people that are in certain parts of the world where it's a little bit darker, they don't have a lot of light, they get depressed. They get down. You know, sometimes they call it the winter blues. I think they have certain houses in certain parts of the world where there's special lighting where people could go in and kind of get, you know, get a little bit of light. There's something about darkness. I remember one time I was on Mount Hood and I was elk hunting, and I had my handy flashlight with me, and I was trying to get this elk. He kept coming in. I was bow hunting, and I actually got a shot at him but didn't get him, but all of a sudden I realized it was getting dark. So I thought, oh, no problem. I've got my flashlight, and I was about 5 miles from my pickup. And there was a trail that I knew how to get down. I thought, oh, no problem with that. Just use my light and I'll get back. Well, my light went out. And suddenly I thought, you know, maybe I should have brought another backup light. And it was, I couldn't see anything. And I thought, I started to panic a little bit, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just start walking down the hill, because I know when I walk down the hill, I'll hit Highway 35 sooner or later. But it was about 5 miles away. I knew there were some trails. And anyways, I stumbled around, and it was a terrible time going through the dark without a light. And I finally made it to a trail, and I recognized it. And I was the happiest guy on earth when I hit the trail, because I knew I was going to get back to my pickup. But there is something about darkness. You know, brethren, as we see the world we live in becoming increasingly evil and negative, we realize there is a dark side of life, a dark side. You know, some years ago, there was a very popular movie that came out called Star Wars. How many of you watched Star Wars when it first came out? It was a pretty neat movie. I liked all the characters. I really liked Yoda. He was a kind of a neat guy. And then there was Darth Vader. Who can forget Darth Vader, that low voice? And you know, I was an adult, and I was afraid of Darth Vader. Boy, he was quite a character they made up. There is a new Star Wars movie out now, currently showing another saga. You know, the theme of the movie was the battle of two sides, the dark side and those on the side of light, that could tap into a force that gave power to those who would use it to do good. Although fictional, it certainly has similarities to the world we live in today. You know, when God created the world and placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said his creation was very good. He looked at it and he said it was very good. But you know, Satan changed all that by deceiving Eve and Adam, and suddenly what was good became darkened by sin. The sin separated man from God. Ever since, the world has had a dark side ruled by Satan and the demons. And we'll have more to say about Satan and the demons later. But there's a chapter in the Bible, I think, that really reflects on this. There is a reference to this dark side in John 1:1. Let's turn over there, John 1:1. And this is going way, way back. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." We know this was Jesus Christ. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." And we can see, as it's being explained here, that the world was dark. And when Jesus Christ came into the world, he was bringing light. Jesus is the light of the world. That light is just the opposite of the dark side that Satan rules. There's this big contrast. From the dark side comes evil and negativity that emanates from Satan and the demons. God the Father and Jesus Christ on the other side, which is light, emanate and offer all that is good and righteousness. From their side comes all that is positive and life-giving. Have you ever thought of God and Jesus Christ that nothing bad or evil, any kind of sin, anything that's dark, does not come from them? Let's turn over now to James 1:13. James 1:13. It kind of is referencing what I said. It said, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So we see that everything good comes from the Father and Jesus Christ. Nothing bad can come from them. There is a battle we have to fight as Christians, brethren, that will test our faith. It is a battle to overcome the dark side and live God's way of life. Sometimes I think as we go through life, we don't really think about that, but that we are in a battle. Brethren, the title of my sermon today is "Hold on to your faith and stay positive as we battle the dark side." God gives us as Christians free will to make choices. Decisions that we make every day can greatly affect us in a positive or negative way. God has called us out of the world, and after repentance, accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, and having hands laid upon us, we receive the Holy Spirit. Brethren, we now have the strongest force in existence in us. Sometimes I don't think we really think of the power and the force that is in us. we have God in us. God the Father and Jesus Christ dwell within us. Let's turn over where it refers to that in Acts 1, 6 through 8, if you'll turn there. Acts 1 and verse 6. It says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Here, Jesus Christ is talking about the Holy Spirit coming on them and they would receive power. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And we know the apostles, the disciples did many great acts and healings and miracles. They did have power. That was the Holy Spirit that was in them. We have that power or force in us now if we have received the Holy Spirit. That force or power inside us gives us understanding of the things of God. We can understand His Word in the Bible, and that Word teaches us how to live. That power or force in us starts converting our minds into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We start having light to guide our steps in life. We're not stumbling along, not knowing which way to go. We do have light in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us hope and faith in the resurrection of the saints and the promise of eternal life in God's kingdom. It also should give us positive attitudes. Remember when I said that some people, when they don't have light, they get depressed and down? Sometimes their attitudes kind of sink because they don't have that light. But we have Jesus Christ and God the Father, and our attitudes, brethren, should be positive. Let's turn now to 2 Timothy 1:7. Couldn't find it here. 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Here again, it's saying that there is power with God's Spirit, not of fear, but power. You know, God has chosen not to take us out of the world, but wants us to come out of darkness and the evil of the world. Therein begins the battle, brethren, between the dark side and God's wonderful way of light. He has given us a free will to make choices and decisions to do the right or sin, do what's wrong. We are really, brethren, in a battle against the dark side. Let's turn now to Ephesians 5:8. And this is talking about light and darkness again. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit and all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In our battle with the dark side, we wage a continuous battle in choosing the right from the wrong. Some days we lose battles, some days we win battles. And I think we all know that some days we don't quite make the mark. Other days we do. God wants us, by the use of His Holy Spirit, to develop holy, righteous character. You know, we hear a lot about character in the church. What is character? Character can be defined as a quality or feature of a person or thing that distinguishes them. Moral excellence and strength. A testimonial to one's behaviors or habits. Godly character would be using God's Spirit in ways that produce fruits of the Spirit. Only good can come from God and living God's way of life. We know the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5. They are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all good things that we should have in our character. The abundance of our choices to produce fruits of the Spirit will define us over time. You know, having had the opportunity to farm and raise cherries and different kinds of fruit, a farmer soon learns which trees are productive and yield good fruit. I know over the years, you know, one of the reasons a farmer grows fruit trees is to make money. And after a while, sometimes you can raise a tree. It doesn't usually develop fruit for quite a few years. But once it starts developing fruit, you start taking notice. Some trees have problems. They don't produce fruits or fruit. And over time, a farmer gets to know those trees because generally he has to take them out and put another tree in. And so it's very important for that farmer if that tree produces fruit. It's the same with us, brethren. Over time, we in God's church become defined by the fruit we produce. Godly character and also positive attitudes are what we as Christians should be developing. Do we have perfect godly character and also perfect positive attitudes every moment of our lives? Well, no, we don't. My wife had a sign in our house for a while, and I didn't even know what it really meant, but she said, "Sometimes I wake up grouchy, sometimes I let him sleep." And I walked by this sign for quite a few times. I read, you know, that's kind of neat. You know, what's it really saying? And then I realized what it was saying. Let's take that sign down. But over time, we in God's church become defined, like I say, by the fruit we produce. But, you know, brethren, overwhelming defining part of our character should be godly, and our attitude should be on the whole positive. Have you ever been around somebody that's very negative and down? It's kind of infectious. It doesn't make you feel positive, and it kind of brings you down. It is here that I would like to reveal how our enemy from the dark side, Satan and the demons, have a battle plan in fighting with God's people. Satan, the ruler of darkness, wishes to destroy you and I by weakening and destroying our faith in God and giving us negative attitudes. He wants you to break God's commandments. He wants you to sin. He wants you to worship a way of life that is coming to an end. You know, that's the great thing about being in the church and knowing the truth. We know what's going to happen to the dark side. It's going to be destroyed by God. And it is coming to an end, brethren. That's why we pray that God's kingdom comes soon, because that dark side is going to be destroyed someday. And you know what? The demons and Satan the devil know it's coming. God the Father and Jesus Christ will remove Satan in the near future. And that's good news. Let's turn over now to Revelation 20 and verse 1. It says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he will be released for a little while." And then let's drop down to verse 7. It says, I know there's a lot of questions about what God is going to do with Satan. In verse 7, it says, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, together to battle, whose number is the sand of the sea," which seems almost impossible that the people that have gone through the millennium could be deceived by Satan. But I think that shows the power of the dark side, something we should take note of. But the sand of the sea, that's a lot of people. "They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." We know that flesh dies, brethren, but spirit beings can't die. Satan and the demon's destiny will be spent in a state of torture. They know what is coming and want to destroy our salvation that is given freely by God to his people that endure and overcome to the end. Satan has always wanted to be like God. He will never be that, and is furious that God's plan of salvation is going to bring many sons to salvation. Human beings that will someday be in the God family and be gods. He has great wrath against the church, brethren, and he knows us, and he's going to test us over time. He wants to draw you and I to the dark side. Brethren, we in the church can have and maintain a positive attitude in this dark, evil world we live in if we keep our faith and hope and trust in God. We of all people should exhibit a positive attitude and frame of mind. We should be lights to the world. We should be examples of God's way of life. You know, when you're in a battle with an enemy, it's good to know as much as you can about them. Let's now take note of a few facts about our enemy. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5. I think many of these verses we're turning to that you know. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5, 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Let's see. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." You know, Satan is very active. When you think about a roaring lion that wants to get to you, it can be kind of scary. I don't know if any of you have ever been up close to a lion, but my wife and I were in San Francisco one time. We were at the San Francisco Zoo, and they had this building, and they fed the lions in this building. And we thought, oh, boy, I was really excited. They had a certain time they did it. I said, we got to go see that. So my wife and I went into this building, and they had, of course, cages where the lions were in. And it was like all these lions knew the food was coming. And they were roaring. And their breath, it just seemed like it was coming out. Their hot breath was coming out. And we were pretty close. And I remember it seemed like it just came upon you. And it was the most frightening thing that I've ever seen in my life. And then they started throwing these big chunks of meat to them. And when they got that meat, it was like they were very protective of the meat. And they were growling and snarling. And I'll never forget that the rest of my life. And I thought, I would not want, and they're huge animals, I would not want to have a lion after me. But brethren, Satan is like a roaring lion, and it's something that we need to take heed to. We see here that by our faith, we resist the devil. If Satan is going to destroy us, he will do it in our minds. He's not going to tear at our flesh like a lion would do here on the earth if it was hungry. But he wants to destroy our minds. He wants to get to us through our minds. For it is here we wage the spiritual battle. The dark side, which is no match against the force that is in us, God's Spirit, wants us to turn back to darkness and sin by our choices. By our choice, he wants us to come back into the dark side. If we become weak in the faith by making wrong choices and sinning and turning to the dark side, we can, by our own doing, turn away from God and our calling. Brethren, I would now like to look at an example in the Bible that I think is a human tragedy of God's chosen people, Israel. If you'll turn to Numbers 13:1. The context here is that Israel, God has been leading them through the wilderness. They're just getting ready to go over to the promised land there by the Jordan River. And we'll pick it up here in Numbers 13 and verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel.'" This was the promised land that God had promised them and was leading them to. "From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And so they chose different men from different tribes, and they went to spy out. It says, in verse 17, it says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, 'Go up this way to the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not.' And it says, 'Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." And I think we all kind of are amazed at the story. In verse 23, it says, "Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between them on a pole." Could you imagine the size of those grapes? They would have probably really sold in Safeway. The biggest grapes that you've ever seen. But it was amazing, and you're just thinking, you know, the soil must have been very fertile, that very promising thing to the people. And then down in verse 26, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." Very positive thing. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites," and then they went on and on. And it said, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possessions, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Brethren, they forgot who was going to fight the battle for them. It was God. And they started thinking, you know, we can't do this. It was showing a very lacking of faith. And it says, "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'This land which we have gone as spies is a land that devours the inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" So, going on with the story, there's a lot of bickering. There's a very great lack of faith in the children of Israel. "So all the children lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Where was their trust in God? "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" They were going to go back to the dark side where God had taken them out. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." And then I think it's very interesting the contrast that Joshua and Caleb had. It was the difference that they had, the positive attitude they had compared to the children of Israel. It says, "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes." They knew what was happening. They were very upset. "And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land.' And then they said, 'If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us to this land and give it to us.'" They were trusting in God, something the children of Israel weren't doing. "Give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. It's amazing, you know, when you talk about how bad attitudes can spread, and it spread through millions of Israelites. "Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting for all the children of Israel." And then coming down into verse 27, it says, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me?" This is God speaking. "I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, who had a different attitude, who trusted and had faith in God. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell. But your little ones whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. So here we see a very terrible attitude. You know, the Israelites, when you think about it, who saw their God deliver them from slavery in Egypt, brought them out of Egypt, lead them in a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, a great miracle. God was with them. Defeat and destroy Pharaoh's army, a powerful army. They witnessed this. The parting of the Red Sea. Feed them with manna from heaven and give them quail when they complained at not having meat. Give them water from a rock. Still lack faith in God's promise to give them the promised land. You know, brethren, we can learn some lessons from this bad example. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. In verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples." They're examples for us, brethren. "To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 20,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." And he's talking about the seriousness, brethren, of our calling and battling the dark side. I would now like to give you some points on how we can win the battle against the dark side and overcome. Number one, let God be our foundation and strength. To all those Israelites who died in the desert, in the wilderness, God was not their foundation and strength. And we have to realize that we can't win our battles on our own. When we battle the dark side, we need God and we need our foundation to be in Him. We have God's Holy Spirit in us, that force that can protect us and win our battles against the dark side. God is our deliverer. When we have trials and tribulations, we need to come before our God and ask for help. The adult Israelites could have entered the promised land and conquered the land if they would have had faith in God, that He was the one fighting their battles. They lacked faith in God and had a short memory. God had earlier defeated Pharaoh's army. Need to ask God to help fight our battles. And we must believe in what He can do. We must have a living faith. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11:6. It says, and we heard this over the Young Adults Weekend. The whole weekend was about faith, but it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Our believing in God is a demonstration of our faith. God can perform wonders in us by the power of His Holy Spirit. That force enables us to overcome the world or the dark side. We must also be letting God be our foundation and strength. We must live by every word of the Bible. God's words have great power in our lives if we live by them. Let's turn now to Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, brethren, it is one thing to have knowledge, but we need to practice what the Bible tells us. Coming out of darkness means living and walking in God's light. We become different in our thoughts and actions. It affects our behavior in a godly way. Another point in battling the dark side is to have a positive attitude. If I were to ask the questions, is God a positive God? Is His way of life positive? Is His plan of salvation positive? Are His promises positive? We would have to answer yes to all these questions. God is positive and God is love. If we are the people of God, the children of God, we also should have positive attitudes. As the dark side gets darker and Satan's time draws to a close, how can we maintain positive attitudes? As we notice in the example of the Israelites, they were continually complaining and having negative attitudes. Joshua and Caleb had different attitudes. They were more positive because of their faith in God. By believing God, their minds that shaped their attitudes were filled with the promises of God. God's promises should be so a part of our faith and belief that they transcend what the dark side so negatively affects and infects the world around us. I know my wife have a rule in our house. When one of us gets down, gets a negative attitude, the other one says, "You can't be that way. I'm not going to allow it." So on occasion, sometimes I know I'll get in a negative or bad attitude, and she gets on me right away. But it works, and I'm glad that I have her watching me at times when I have a negative attitude. And I must say that sometimes, occasionally, not very often, she does too. But not very much. So, where was I? You know, brethren, we can have perfect positive attitudes all the time, but we should have a joy and belief in all the wonderful promises of God that will give us positive attitudes. Let's turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him." And let's turn to Romans 8:31. So we need to have the promises of God in our mind. We need to be thinking. Our thoughts need to be thinking on those promises. Romans 8:31. " These verses, it seems like I've read them many, many times, they're very encouraging. When how we look at God fighting our battles, when we're trying to come overcome the dark side. In verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, brethren, we cannot have perfect positive attitudes all the time. But we should have a joy and a belief in all the wonderful positive promises of God that will give us positive attitudes. Putting sin out of our lives helps us to be positive. Have you ever noticed that people who are really negative tend to focus on the bad things around them? It is as if their eyes have been trained over time to see the dark side of everything. Let's turn over to Luke 33, a very interesting scripture. Luke 33. Headed in the right direction here. Luke 11:33. I read this over many times, and sometimes I've kind of wondered, what exactly is it saying here? But in Luke 11:33, it says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. And when the bright shining of the lamp gives you light." You know, William Barclay's commentary states that this is really talking about the heart in man. He states that if the heart is bad, all life is darkened, everything that we see in life. And he talked about, you know, in Revelation, it talks about the many, the love of many will wax cold. When a candle is burning, the wax is fluid, it's hot, but when it stops burning, it turns cold, and kind of describing what the heart would be like. And William Barclay talks about how sin can affect the heart over time. And he talked about a man using his hands, doing hard work or doing something and developing calluses over time. And he said that, you know, we have a conscience. When we sin once, it kind of bothers us. And then we sin again, maybe the same sin, and it doesn't bother us as much. And then if we keep doing that over time, it's like our conscience gets like those calluses, and our hearts become hardened. And our hearts are darkened by that. And I thought that was very interesting. And then when our hearts become like that, we can't look out at life the same way Christ did. And it's very interesting how they compares that to darkness. You know, we all must be vigilant to not let our hearts become darkened by sin. And like I say, we all have choices. There's things that come up in our life, and we have to be careful that our hearts are not darkened by sin. I think we have all experienced individuals in our lives that have had negative attitudes. Can you imagine what it was like to have been in the camp of the children of Israel and they were rebelling against God? And all the complaining and bad attitudes joined together in a chorus of negativity. That must have been very depressing for Caleb and Joshua. I know they tore their clothes. Do not turn there, but in Revelation 12, it states that Satan drew a third of the angels of heaven and threw them to the earth. And I'm thinking, you know, negativity certainly can be infectious. Not having a positive attitude. We have the choice every day we experience life to have positive or negative attitudes. And we get up every day. We can't do it perfectly, brethren. There are times when it's good to let him sleep and not wake up grouchy. But we have the choice to be diligent in putting sin out of our lives. Focusing on the promises of God is a good way to stay positive, and staying close to God by praying, meditating, and studying and living God's way of life. Number three, you know, we should have a vision on where we as Christians are going and what our reward is. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15:19. We all know this chapter, scripture in the Bible. First Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most pitiful. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and when he puts an end to rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. You know, as I get older, I realize sometimes when I'm in conversation with people, you have to be careful what you say. Because the time as we get older becomes shorter when we're getting closer to death. It's not a good idea to talk about death around older people. For the elderly, having a vision of the resurrection becomes a little more pertinent as we approach a time when death is closer for us. You know, but for all Christians, having the vision of the first resurrection and the kingdom of God helps us see past our current mortality and the dark side and realize why God created us in the first place. God wants us to be his children and to give us eternal life. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. Oh, we're already there. 1 Corinthians 15:50. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? It means sometimes we get so busy and caught up in our day-to-day living that we don't see the overall big picture. We need to have that in our mind, the vision of the resurrection, where we're going, the kingdom of God, and where we're headed. Let's turn now to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God has prepared a place for us, brethren, someday, and that we are going to be in his kingdom as his children. God has given us a clarity of vision to see ahead and has given us faith in his wonderful plan. We're so lucky that God has opened our minds to this. The world, the majority of the world that's involved in the dark side doesn't have what we have. It's such a wonderful gift. Someday they will be given a chance, an opportunity, because God wishes that all men would come to repentance and be saved. But at this time, it says Satan has deceived the whole world. The whole world is deceived at this time. The dark side will darken the world we live in more and more as evil prevails. We, the children of light, will be tested. Our faith will be tested and our attitudes. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And I think that was answered at the weekend. Yes, he will. Brethren, even though there is great evil in the world today, and we can expect to be tested by all that will be thrown at us from the dark side, we do not have to fear because Jesus Christ overcame the world and sits at the right hand of God. With God on our side fighting our battles, we will win in the end. We know the whole story, the rest of the story. There are glorious promises that will be fulfilled in the near future. We must hold on to our faith in those promises and keep our attitudes positive. We must be a positive people. We must live God's way of life and put sin out of our lives. We must be lights to the dark world around us. And now, in conclusion, I have one more scripture that I think is a wonderful scripture about us. It's over in Daniel. If you would turn there, Daniel 12. In verse 1. And this is a prophecy about the end time. It says, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And this, I think, is an amazing verse, brethren, and what we have to look forward to. It says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.